Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jamie, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with one of my favorite people ever, a guy who never makes me not laugh. I don't think I've ever hung out with Greg. Maybe like if I've called him a couple times where I'm like, something really bad happened.
I mean, come on.
But you've never not made me laugh.
Thank you, brother. And I feel the same about you, dude. You're the quickest mind I think I've ever met. I get jealous sometimes. You're so fast. And I know we're starting off the show by sucking each other's dicks. And that's probably not what this audience wants to hear. But anytime you pay me these really brilliant compliments, I just feel the need to share them back.
Nah, you don't, man.
You really are the quickest mind in college. If you guys haven't seen him live, you just don't know what you're missing with Adam Hunter. When he get anything that happens, he's so fast. It's crazy. It makes me crazy that I'll never be that quick.
Nah, well, last night I'm at the Comedy Store and I was on, like, it was Eddie Ifton Friends. And it was like, you know, it's always like whenever I'm at the Improv or the Comedy Store, I'm always like, oh, fuck yeah, dude. Like, I always feel the need to kill, which is like not how you want to do a comic.
No, absolutely, because you don't work there as often as you'd like to, so you want them to see what they're missing. So you go up there, like, I'm going to show you guys what. And let me tell you something. Every time I've had that show, it doesn't fucking matter. It's not like they're watching. It's not like I've had them. And people, it's them forward me emails where people going, that last guy was the best one. He was better than so-and-so and so-and-so. Well, who was he? And they'll be like, oh, and they'll copyright means nothing. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. But there's always the problem is that when you want to kill, it's like a fighter trying too hard. Like you become a try hard.
Absolutely.
You're going for the results. You're not going for like, it's not like, oh, I want to land this joke. I want to work on this joke. I want to hit this bit. It's just, I just want to crush. Right.
Right.
And of course, me and you are in that situation where it doesn't matter. Like, we're always going to have, like, the check spot or go last. It's one of those things where, like, I get there and it's, like, Andrew Santino and Beth Stelling and all these people who have, like, bigger credits. And I'm like, oh, I'm this 11 comics and I'm 10th. Okay, all right, okay. The show started at 7:30. I'm going on at 10:30, right? That's usually how it goes. And then every comic that's getting off, and these are good comics, is like, oh, how'd it go? Fucking crowd sucked. Like, they were tight. Like in my head, I'm like, oh, they haven't seen me. I'm like, I fucking.
Totally. Dude, I always say that too. I'm like, nobody's cracked this nut. Here we go. Oh, yeah.
So of course I go up there and like second joke and I'm like, this is a fucking tight crowd. like everything that I'm like, wow, these guys were not joking or they weren't lying. And it was just one of those crowds of like this, you know, plus it was like game four, the Lakers. So it was like anyone that was a sports fan was not going to be at a Monday night at the Comedy Store. You know, like they're going to be people that like anyway. So I got them and like, you know, 30% in was like it went from, you know, you never as a comic, I think, want to go from like start at 10, end at 1, you know, or end at 3. You always want to go the other way. And that's how it went. And it went that way because I've been doing this shit 24 years where like a crowd like that's not going to throw me. And people go, well, what's the difference between – you know, the thing was like, to me, NFL, good college quarterbacks and good NFL quarterbacks are just different because, or great, great fighters. It's like Mayweather could lose the first four rounds and he'll come back and win the fight. A lot of times these quarterbacks, they get sacked and it's over. Whereas a guy like Peyton Manning throws four interceptions, it doesn't throw him. You know, Kobe, Kobe could fucking miss the first five shots. I'm not comparing myself to Peyton Manning or Kobe, but what I'm trying to say is that it didn't throw me. Whereas like a newer comic, a less experienced comic would have been like, oh, fuck, like, you know, so it went OK. But like it was one of those things where I just, you know,
it's were you just now doing Brendan Schaub's act?
There he is, McCarkle.
Meanwhile, Brendan Schaub liked one of my videos.
You know, and, you know what? Wait a minute. Can we just make McCorkle the exclamatory a thing? I think we need to make that a thing where it's like anything that's just, you're just like, McCorkle. It's so good to say. In comedy, we love those hard C consonants, and that's it's loaded with them.
I like people that actually been sending me messages mad that I haven't been talking shit about Brendan Schaub on here. They're like, dude, I've heard a Schaub joke in 3 weeks. You used to have to keep track. Why are you falling off? And I'm sorry, man. I'll get back on it. So
my birthday was last weekend. I was 45. And my wife's like, let's have a big party. But I didn't want to have a party. Like, I just was like, let's save money. I just want to go out and with my family. You know, I had tickets to the Sparks. I brought like a friend or two to the Sparks game on Friday. I had free tickets. And by the way, so I got to say, a lot of nice comments from our fans. Funny, I mean, they're all like, hey, man, I want to thank for the podcast. It got me out of some really dark times. Like, every, like, people are always like, hey,
that, man. That's when they find us, when they're at their bottom. And they're like, I don't even deserve a name brand podcast. What's the bargain basement? Who? Where's the Goodwill fucking MMA podcast? Oh, yeah, MMA roasted. Never fucking happened.
It's like, hey, I was beyond depressed, and your podcast cheered me up. I mean, it was, which is super nice, and thank you. That's comedy. I can't tell you, like, the one time when I got detained, I flew to England to do a comedy show, and then I didn't read the 700 emails. And that said, one of them said, don't tell them you're here for a comedy show. So when I got to the borders,
I'm here for a comedy show.
And I got detained. I got detained with a bunch of runaway au pairs. I was so depressed. I wasted a whole flight to England. I knew I wasn't going to get paid.
Runaway au pairs, though. Did you get laid? I mean, come on. I mean, if anybody is looking at his DTF, it sounds like a runaway au pair that checks a lot of boxes in the gotta hit it now category. But
luckily Fletch was on. They had Fletch on. When they held everybody, they had Fletch on the TV.
The original or the newer one?
I think no, the original. And that made me laugh.
Oh, that's the greatest.
Made me laugh so hard. So I'll always thank Fletch and Chevy Chase for making me laugh.
When my mother passed, I was at this bar in El Paso after, like, the next day, getting ready to go home, and I'm all depressed and everything. And our friend Craig Robinson, spokesman for Pizza Hut, and some of the commercials are pretty damn funny, especially if you know Craig.
Yeah, you know,
it's just funny to see him doing. And so he's up there and he's doing one of them, and it just really cracked me up. And I texted him. I'm like, you know, Craig, I'm sitting here in this bar. I'm all sad and seeing you up there doing. You said the thing. I'm just dying. He's like, I got you, dog. Man, go get yourself some pizza. He hit me right back, and it just made me feel a million times better. So I understand how sometimes seeing something that makes you laugh, you're like, ah, thank you. Oh my God, drag me out of this mess.
Sean, was there ever somebody for you that comedy that got you out of a dark time?
No, Brendan Schaub put me in a dark time.
I was gonna say, right, boy, hey, here comes the softball. Here comes the McCorkle. That's the McCorkle.
By the way, Craig,
my favorite was Norm Macdonald, man. If I was ever down at all, Norm Macdonald was in a regular interview with him. His podcast, I don't know if you guys have seen it, not the one on Netflix, but the one that you can't find anywhere that he originally just released on YouTube, is still to this day the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life, man. It is, it's hard to find, but if you can find it, man, it's funny.
Can I tell you we had him on Comics Unleashed back when I was one of the writer producers on the show, and I had to prep him for the show. And I don't know if I've ever laughed. And I mean, I'm working with name comics every single day, every episode, hanging out with them backstage, and also comics I know and my friends and like Adam and stuff. So, but Norm had me dying. I mean, and just being himself, just hanging around, just talking. And I mean, I was just falling apart. Only two guys have really affected me that way, and it was him and Richard Lewis. Those two motherfuckers are the exact same on stage and off stage. It's like a continuous show that you just see for 1 hour, and then it just continues fucking the rest of, like, it's just who they are. It was fucking, that guy's the best.
Norm talked about that on Howard Stern. He goes, I did Comic Unleashed, and that show couldn't have been any more leashed.
That's right. That's right. He, and let me tell you something. He was saying that at the show. Like, he was in no way. That was all shit. He tried it out on me backstage. Like, I was like, yeah, that's, he was, he, that all the shit was all happening right there in real time.
He goes, they asked John Lovitz, so I hear you're getting older.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. The worst. Like, I understand you're getting older, like, to set him up for his joke. Like,
oh, listen, this point was made fun of by everyone that had been on the show. I would see them out at a club, like, you know, a week or two later, and they're like, you gotta love those transitions. Oh, he's like, wow, that's crazy about your dog. So, Greg, I hear you like peanut butter. Like, I mean, it was just, there was zero, it was like my act. No transitions, all hard laughs.
Dude, when I was there, the staff was all laughing at the transitions. One of the transitions, yes. he asked, he goes, so you think you can learn Spanish from graffiti? Like, it was just like, there was
yes. And let me tell you something. We talked about it. We'd be like, there's got to be a more natural way. And he was like, nah, I got it. Like, he just didn't. Byron was like, nah, I'm fine doing it this way. And he was. And listen, the show, you know, he did, what, 200 episodes of it? So, by the four way, seasons, so, some shit like that.
What's up, people? Support for MMA Roasted is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Their products are precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, which are very important, especially to our people watching. Well, to everybody, really. But Manscaped's Performance Package is the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Join over 8 million people worldwide, okay, who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you, which is 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code MMAROASTED at manscaped.com. My math is correct. That's about 16 million balls. That's a lot of balls, people. Lots and lots of balls, okay? Listen, I've been using the Performance Package 4.0. It's a game changer, okay? I remember before I used to use scissors or I would use a razor. I've cut my balls and that is not fun, okay? I've scraped them. People thought I had STDs. I just had all kinds of just terrible things, all right? Just horrible stuff on my nuts, okay? And thanks to Manscaped, it's all taken care of, okay? First off, the lawnmower 4.0, the trimmer is the future of grooming. And dare I say, the greatest ball trimmer ever. I tried lots of ball trimmers. Okay. I plucked them out. I hasn't been good. Okay. But this trimmer is waterproof and you can say goodbye to the mess in the bathroom floor. Okay. My wife comes in, she's hair everywhere. She's like, what's going on? It looked like somebody ran over a Furby or something. Okay. Listen, Manscaped is the way to go. Okay. Time to take care of yourself. Go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with the code MMA Roasted. Okay. That's 20% off free shipping. Use the code MMA Roasted at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code MMA Roasted. Unlock your confidence. Okay. Let your balls out. Okay. You take home a girl for the first night or your wife or a guy, whatever you're into, they could be like, wow, this person takes care of you. You don't want stinky nuts. All right. You don't want women to pass out and just have all kind of funk down there. Not good. Okay. I used to look like Ben Askren down there. Girls would be like, is that Askren? Because it would just be lots of hair everywhere. Yeah. It was like Chase Hooper down on my nutsack. Not good. Okay. Unlock your confidence. Always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Check it out. So Richard Lewis, I remember I worked in Atlanta and he had done like the week before and they said he was like the most neurotic. Like he came there 4 hours before just to pace around the stage, like yeah. just for 3 hours. And then he played a song before he went on, right? But it was a 5-minute song and it had nothing to do with his act. And they're like, why do you want? He goes, I wanted everyone to hear the song. It was like some guy he liked. It was like a...
Just some act he liked.
Like Richard Marx or something. Like he just liked the song and he wanted everyone to hear it. Like, dude, he was...
He's a lunatic. He is a lunatic, man. So funny, though. God damn it.
Ugh. Craig Robinson, by the way. So my cousin, she has this disease that only Jewish people get. And it could be fatal. It's very fatal in a lot of things. It's like a rare...
Is it called being annoying? No,
it's like a rare disease. And it's like it's really hard on a lot of kids. I mean, they, you know, most kids at one point they didn't live till 20. It was just awful, awful disease that she had. And we always have we had a show for the kids. And you know, now she's doing great. She's in her 30s, but she can't feel pain. So she has to be constantly like looked out for. Her, you know, her teeth, she could swallow her tooth. She's got all kinds of issues. So we had a show for them, and I asked Craig Robinson to do it while he was on The Office, you know, for free. Like, I didn't have any budget. He drove across town from The Office and put on an hour show for the kids, just because.
Yeah.
And that guy will always, you know, he could do no wrong in my mind. When someone does something like that.
Yeah,
it's
remarkable that someone as famous as him is that cool with his friends. And when I say his friends, I mean a huge community of people.
Yeah,
you know, that are all, he's so friendly with everyone. Everyone thinks they're his best friend. Everybody, you know. But yeah. I really, you know, getting a chance to work with him on a show, the Ghosted show that we did on Fox, that was where we really became actual friends. And I, you know, to this day, we just, I love. He's just a great guy, and he's always, you know, he's always been there for me. So what can you do?
So Friday,
watching him try to keep a straight face when Will Ferrell was on Eastbound and Down is the best thing ever. You guys have seen that,
right? Oh yeah! Oh yeah. My God! Yes.
Yeah, he's like in my plums, and he's trying to keep the straight face. It's the best.
Dude, Craig is, and you talk about another guy who's the exact same off stage, and it just goes onto the stage, and then, and no one loves to improvise like Craig. Craig loves improvising. Like, we've been at parties and just start improvising and doing a stupid scene and shit. Like, it's ridiculous. God. The guy's a blast.
So Friday I went to the Sparks game, right? And because my friend's cousins played for the Sparks. And by the way, so it was Brittany Griner's first game back, right? She got a standing ovation. And which was crazy, because if it was anywhere else, like if she did like a NASCAR event, like, imagine they had Brittany Griner, they would have I think they would have booed her out of the arena. But this was her crowd. Like, welcome back, BG, you know? And she did great. She's about 4 feet taller than the other girls. And maybe even five. I mean, she's just like, it's like a big, it's like Sean playing basketball with us. That's how it felt like. Except she got tired. She got tired real quick.
So it's just like me playing basketball.
And fighting.
Yeah,
but it's kind of amazing though, because like, what other athlete could spend like a year in a Russian prison, come back, and then go back to the pro, being a pro, and dominate? I mean, there's not many athletes that can do that.
Yeah, it's like WNBA, of course. It's like, what athlete could go dominate the WNBA after a year in prison? Pretty much any man, like a athlete. So
I'm pretty sure any race car driver can go to jail for a year, come out and still drive a car.
Right.
I feel like that's a sport you could probably still come back to.
But she was up there taking foul shots, and they have a thing like no booing, but they have like, hey, you know, they try to tell you.
Yeah.
Like, so she's taking foul shots, and I was thinking like, it would have been funny if everyone held up vape pens, you know, like, just, you know how like they.
Oh man, you just gave them a great idea. She's gonna have trouble on the road now. Way to go, dude. Everyone's gonna hold up vape pens. Oh shit.
Then I went to the state fair, which, by the way, I thought it was the Orange County Fair. We had tickets to go see Chaka Khan, you know, because I brought my daughter.
Oh, but it was the state fair. Okay.
It was the LA state fair. So we drove to the Orange County Fair, and my wife drove so I could watch the fight.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Oh,
so of course,
my God.
We drove an hour and a half the wrong fucking way. We got there.
This is Danielle. Now, this is a phenomenal breakdown on everybody's part. Okay. How does she not know? You're even the child should have known.
Then we got there.
Which fucking fairgrounds? I can't believe you didn't double check. Hey, is this the fair?
I just figured it was the Orange County Fair. That's where we saw Smokey Robinson, Chaka Khan.
Oh my! You just assumed the fair. That's
I just thought it was the same fair, right? So we go. So right away we get there, and of course it's like, it's all the, you have to take a trolley to the place, and this, and then it's too loud for my daughter. Chaka Khan's great, by the way, for 70 years old. And I didn't even realize that she sang on the song with Stephen Winwood, Higher Love. Bring me higher. That's her. Did you know that was her?
I think I did. I feel like that was something I did know.
I thought Chaka Khan was a male artist, so I'm way off. I was thinking...
sings, I'm every woman. And then Chaka Khan.
And then Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan.
So that was pretty awesome. And then my daughter is just like, she's funny. She wakes me up in the morning. She goes, if you wake up now, you could play Legos with me. And I'm just like, oh, God.
Aren't Legos a wonderful invention, man? Having kids, you get to play with them, step on them every week. I used to step on my kids' Legos all the time.
My dad hated that because my brother Mark loved Legos, and man, boy, I tell you what, it got rid of the Legos.
Right.
My dad only had to do that. My dad loved outlawing shit in our house. It was his favorite thing to do. And so he would anything that that's it. That's gone. No, throw it all away. And that was it. It was fucking gone. We never saw it again.
Yeah, well, my daughter, like, she's starting to whine now. Like, I don't want it. I go, Violet, are we whiners? Or are we gonna be when we see something? Do we whine or we see it as an obstacle that we can get over? Whine. So now
I was gonna say, well, you gotta explain to her. Technically, she's only half whinish.
Oh, you're half Jewish? Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah,
she whines all the time, and then everything is a game, but it's my fault. Like she goes and takes a poop, right? And I tried to make it fun. So I'm like, oh, Captain Buttwipe is here. And I dress up, I put a thing, I go, time to wipe your butt, right? So, but now she's four, and she's like, Captain Buttwipe, you know. So I come in. Or we gotta do a puppet show. Well, she's sitting on the toilet. I come in with the animals and I'm like, have you seen, you know, the cat? And then I look around and then the cat's like, I'm over here, the other stuffed animal. And then every time I look, it's gone, you know. And then it goes like, time for your bath. I gotta give her a bath. But we gotta play, you know, we have to do a talent show with Elmo and Abby versus, you know, Grover and this one and Cookie Monster. And then she doesn't want to get out. So I got to wrap her like a burrito. And then I go, it's burrito time. I got to throw her up three times. And then I got to put stuff in the burrito. Here's some chicken. Here's some this. And then she's a mouse. So she eats the cheese in the burrito. And then I got to wrap, throw her up. And this is all, it's just one game after another. And then it's time for bed. And she's like, tell me a story. And like, tell me, oh, I want a funny story. I already heard that story. And then she directs the story. Once upon a time, there were two kids. Her name was... No, her name
so
is...
So you're telling us you have to take Adderall twice a day. Because there's no human alive that can... No. And again, I know you're like, parenting is so great. But every time you talk about it, I'm like, so glad I don't have kids.
Dude, she's so, she's so stubborn, dude. Like, Daddy, play LOL dolls with me, right? So I go there and I want to watch the game. All right, bring them in here. No, I want to play in the playroom. And then it's just like, all right, I'll go in the playroom. And then I'm like, I sit in the chair. No, sit on the floor. No, I'm sitting in the chair. I'm not playing then. And then I go, all right, I'll sit on the floor. Then I'm on the floor going, you have to say please. Like, she already got me to do what she wants, but I'm telling her to say please after the fact. I'm like, right. Dude, I got to figure this out. This is not... This is all on me. This is, yeah. Sorry.
At some point, you may have to discipline her.
I know. You're right.
I don't know how. I don't know what's allowable anymore. I don't know. I mean, you know how we were raised. I'm sure McCorkle took a few shots.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad loved to beat the shit out of us. So
I was gonna say, I still haven't physically recovered, I don't think, from some beating.
I haven't either, exactly. I mean, I went to therapy a few times, and I guess I'm better, but I mean...
My dad smacked me so hard one time, he left a five finger on my thing, like a...
Woo!
You know, and then when I brought it up, he, like, denied it. I never did that. I'm like, Dad, I remember the five finger. And so then they yelled at me for bringing it up. Dude, I was talking to my buddy.
I got to bring up old shit. Dude,
my dad used to drink and drive, right? And by the way, people listening, I don't want your fucking emails about how I'm spoiling my kid and about how you parented and all this other bullshit. I don't care. I'm not going to read them. All right.
Don't worry. They're going to be busy sending me messages about how NASCAR is actually really hot. And Jake's true, you got to be in Graves' physical condition, and I could never do it. So
yeah, I don't want to hear how it's already too late and my kid's fucked because of me. All right. So, but my dad used to drink and drive, right? My friend, he talked about this over the, he's like, and I'd be like, hey, dad, you're not going to drink and drive. He goes, I drive drunk better than you drive sober. That's what he told me. I think I was like 10. I don't think I even drove at the time, you know?
Drive drunk because you drive sober.
Better than you drive sober. Oh. Yeah, better. Like, I'm a better driver.
And you're a child? Like, I would imagine being able to reach the pedals in itself makes you a better driver than me. I'm a little child.
And then I was like, Dad, why are you smoking so much weed? He goes, it took me 30 years of getting high every day to get as burnt as you are naturally. This is what he told me. This is my fucking dad when I was like 19.
Dude. So I guess somewhere in the middle is good parenting.
I remember getting, this is recently, I remember getting, like, taking my kid's like, Daddy, I have to go potty, right? So we were driving by my dad's apartment. I'm like, oh, I'll just pull over. I'm like, Dad, I'm down the block. My kid has to go to the bathroom. Why? Because she's got to take a cookie. Is it okay? But yeah, fine. We get out of the elevator. It's like a Cypress Hill video. Fucking weed smoke out of the, and he's all the way down. Like, and I'm like, what? It's a fucking fog. And I'm like, that's definitely coming from my fucking dad's place, right? And so then I come in. He's like opening up the windows. I'm like, it's okay. That just, she's got to take a, go to that. Let's just get out of here. You know, it's just, anyway.
Can I tell you, your dad's kind of my hero, man. Like, what a guy. Listen to this guy still living, man. He's like, he's, till the wheels come off, baby. Shit. That guy's the American dream.
All right. So divorced Dern, Mackenzie Dern, looked better than I've ever seen. If you would have told me 5 years ago.
Oh, my God.
She'd fight Angela Hill, and Dern would win on the feet. And Hill in the first round was winning grappling for a second, and then she wasn't. I'd be like, dude, this is Freaky Friday. That's not going to happen. And I don't know. Mackenzie Dern, I guess, got divorced because they were saying, oh, she has personal issues, which have helped her. And then she's all ripped. She
helped Holly Holm, too.
She came in with it, like, looking at incredible shape, and her striking has never looked better. This is a very dangerous woman. Angela Hill, props for staying in the fight.
Absolutely. Fuck.
That was rough. Sean, what do you think?
I did not watch it, so I'll just have to take your guys' word for it. I don't really like to watch women fighting, so unless it's Ronda Rousey getting beat up, I can watch that all day long. But other than that, I don't.
I actually bet on Hill because I'm like, nobody thinks Hill's got a shot here, but I know how tough she is. Boy, she was tough enough to survive.
Yeah.
For five rounds, but that's all she did. I felt bad for her, but it does speak to Mackenzie Dern in that I was thinking about Mackenzie Dern that we've known. And what I saw, the second I saw her entering the ring, I'm like, Jesus Christ. She's like three times bigger than she used to be. I was like, how did she even make weight? Like,
yeah.
She looked huge versus Angela, who was already on a short camp on short notice. So, I mean, poor Angela, it was like an eighth grader beating up on a fifth grader. Like, I was like, what is happening in here? And yeah, Dern, this is a different animal altogether. She clearly lives in the gym now. This is all she's eating, breathing, living, sleeping, dreaming. Everything is this. And she's a force to be reckoned with. You better, I'm interested to see where this goes.
I think her husband.
I love how he compared the tougher version of the girl to an eighth grader. Like, it was like watching an eighth grader. I thought you were going to say fight her dad. It's like, it's like watching an eighth grader fighting an even worse fighter, a fifth grader.
Well, because, you know, kids. Yeah. Want to include the kids.
So Sean, also Anthony Hernandez, who's just on a beat. He's just like a, like Bisping said, he's not the strongest, not the fastest, not the most technical, but the toughest and the most tenacious. Put a beating on Edmund. And Edmund was looking good his last fight, but this Hernandez guy is a monster. I don't even know what his background is. I think he's just one of these dudes, you know, that just keeps getting better. I think that happens sometimes when the guys pick up MMA late. Sometimes
I've never even heard of him. What's his first name?
Anthony Hernandez. He goes by Fluffy.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Gabriel, but yeah, he put a beating on him. Now, also on the card, is Joaquin Buckley, who he's the guy that, remember, somebody caught his leg and he did that crazy kick. He either gets like knocked, then he got knocked out. He either knocks the guy out or he gets knocked out.
Oh, so, exactly. And this was one of his good fights.
Yeah, the other guy always looks good for the first round. He looks like this guy's a world beater, and then for some reason always loses or has been losing his last couple fights in Fialho. So I'll tell you, Sean, I'll show you exactly what happened. We'll share, because there were two kind of funny things that happened here. The first one was this. Right?
All time for good measure. So, does it again?
James Browned it.
Let's see that again. So he wins.
Joaquin Buckley does it again.
I mean, I'm guessing he feels good.
That is not what you'd expect. Then this one, you think, okay, he's not going to top that. You got to see his post fight interview, which was this right here. Hold on. There you go. like, I don't think he's allowed to say that.
That was like when Booker T said it, coming after Hulk Hogan in a pro wrestling interview. He dropped. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so that's what Joaquin Buckley definitely let his emotions, I guess, get the best of him. But look great. Happy for him. Nice guy. He came to one of my shows, and there was this woman that was like way too hot for the guy. And I was like, oh, where'd you guys meet? And the guy was like, oh, lifestyle.com, which I know is a swinger website. So of course.
Yeah, because isn't that their code? They're like, so are you in the lifestyle? Isn't that like their code?
Yeah.
The question is, how do you know that, Adam? Like, Adam's like, yeah, I know that website. Like, how do you know that that's what that is?
This guy who was the drummer for Skid Row, like after Sebastian Bach left.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah, what was his name? Because he also had done some porn and stand-up comedy.
His name was Phil Verone.
Verone, that's right. Good guy, though. Nice guy.
Nice guy. And he sold a dildo called the Fildo. I don't know how many he sold, but he used to come. He was part of the lifestyle, and he used to pack the improv with all these like kind of hot chicks, but older pastor. I don't say pastor prime, because that's not
but that is exactly what you meant. That is exactly
that's what you mean. You're not going to say it.
I don't want to say pastor prime.
Because listen, if they were at a steakhouse, they wouldn't be considered prime cuts.
Remember Don Lemon got in trouble for saying pastor? Remember he got no fucking...
This is not CNN. The bar is exceedingly low for MMA roasted, I'm afraid. So
he bought these girls that were hot, definitely some cougar-esque girls. And then they came to the show and surrounded me. And then I went to one of their parties. And it was nuts. I think I told the story 100 times. The girl getting fisted.
Is that to finish him?
No. Yeah. No. The girl's getting fisted while the football game was on, the Super Bowl. And it was like the woman, Reggie Bush was playing the Super Bowl. And it was like the fourth quarter. And everyone's watching it while some girls looked like a turkey. The guy had his fist in her. And then everyone's watching and looking at the girl getting fisted. And then some girl goes, ugh. And I go, yeah, right. She goes, he's doing it wrong. So that was... So that happened. Michael Johnson, by the way.
So that happened. And then I was like, maybe it's time to get married. Maybe. I think I've maybe seen it all, guys.
So another guy.
Can't even watch the Super Bowl without fucking fisting.
So Michael Johnson, by the way, looked great.
On the upside, everybody scored. Okay, I'm done.
Michael Johnson looked great. He was fucking looking great. He was beating Ferreira. It was Michael Johnson of old. This is it. And then he got caught. And Sean.
Oh, boy.
Grand slams, no hitters, and double plays are back. That's right. And there's no better place to get on the MLB action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook and official partner of Major League Baseball. And guess what, people? New customers in Massachusetts get in on the action with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/Boston. And finally, you can bet on all your favorite sports, from the money line to point spreads to player props and more. I love it, okay? If I'm going to bet, I'm going to go on FanDuel. So now, bet on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Don't miss your chance to get $200 of bonus bets. Win or lose, how great is that? Okay, visit FanDuel.com/Boston and make every moment more. That's FanDuel, the official partner of Major League Baseball. You got to be 21 and older and present in Massachusetts. Okay, your first online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable. And bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Help is here. So is hope. Hope and help. Gambling help line ma.org or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. That's FanDuel. Check it out now. Right now. You want to bet? That's where you go. I got to talk to you about HelloFresh. First of all, what is HelloFresh? With HelloFresh, you get fresh farmed, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. You got to skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. And that's why it's America's number one meal kit. Number one, all right? You can make mealtime easy with delicious recipes made with fresh, wholesome ingredients delivered to your door. No lines, no hassle, no gas, all that other stuff that you have to get there. No, just great tasting meals you can whip up and enjoy in the comfort of home. Sounds good to me. HelloFresh has 40 weekly recipes to choose from for all meal occasions, lifestyles, and preferences, okay? Take your pick from meals like soy glazed salmon with rice or mushroom and chive risotto. That sounds delicious. I'm in. Now, me and my wife, we've been doing home-cooked HelloFresh, and it has been delicious. Delicious, okay? It saves us time. It saves us money. We're in. So just go to HelloFresh.com/Roasted60. Use the code Roasted60 for 60% off plus free shipping. Okay. HelloFresh.com/Roasted60. All right. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Go check it out.
Boy.
Look how scary this looks right here.
This is straight down the pipe right there.
Watch this.
He's looking to counter. There you go.
You see that?
A body shot did that to him?
No. Can you see it? Or is it fuzzy?
Maybe it blurred. It looked like a body shot. Blurred.
It looks like a body shot, but it's a straight down, like right on the...
Is this better?
Let's see. Let me see.
Looking to counter.
Right on the button.
Yeah. Hey, man.
Right here.
It's like just straight down.
There you go.
Man, I'm not a big fan of following up shots like that, man. When a guy goes stiff like that, I think they should... make a rule the fight's over. If his arms are outstretched and not moving, you know, like, I don't know. I worry about what the extra shots are doing to guys.
Yeah, that's how that other one ended. Like, he put him, the Buckley one, when Buckley, he put him down, Buckley just stood up and was like, that's it, it's over, you know. So he basically did the same thing. But, yeah, he fucking.
What's awesome is my eyes aren't that great anymore. And on that tab, with it being small, it looked like it said slave claws. And I was wondering this whole time why you had a tab open that said slave clause for that.
The guy's name is Slava Claus,
apparently.
So Slava Claus.
Slave Claus.
So Slava Claus is a super nice guy. He came to the show. He fought a guy named Mahashate. But he only has one name, like Madonna or Cher.
So it was bonus night for the announcers.
Which I thought it was Misha Tate, but they just scrambled the words. But she was supposed to be on the card too. But it's Mahashate. And so he
Oh right, yeah. This is a good fight.
So this guy, he came to my show and he was a nice guy. He's got great kickboxing. His wrestling was needed a thing. And after the show, he came to me. He's like, I want to do stand-up comedy. He was such a nice guy, beautiful wife, and I was so happy because he's lost his last couple fights because of wrestling. So he wins this fight, right? Boom. And
down with another right. And this might do
it. And then he does this dance.
Slava Claus with a big one. And he hits him with the Russian Kalinka. Good vibes only. Let's go. What a finish.
Man, white people shouldn't dance. Certainly not Russians.
I was gonna say, man, that guy can smash, dude. That guy, you can tell that guy knows how to fuck. The sweet up kicks.
Oh my god! So Slava Claus won. Carolina Kowalczyk looked great. She fought Vanessa, the girl who was
Jamopoulos.
Yes, she used to be a stripper. She wrote a book called The Stripper Bible. She went around teaching stripping. She was like, you know, one of those girls that like it was a feature dancer that they bring in. You know, I actually hosted the feature dance awards one time.
Of course.
I have an award show for that.
But they told me don't make fun of the dancers because I guess Paulie Shore did the year before.
Dancer awards.
And they all attacked.
This girl's rubbed her clit on poles from Atlanta to Seattle.
Dude, it was the funniest thing because they were like awarding like best strip club in like Northwest Texas or something, right? And then the guy would come up who won, like, you know, the name of the thing was like, you know, tits or whatever, boobies or whatever. And he'd be like, the guy be crying. They said we couldn't do it and we proved them wrong. Like, it was...
They were saying for years that his strip club would never be the best in Northwest Texas and they were wrong.
They were wrong. Yeah.
Dude, it was insane. So
sounds like Slava Claus came early that year for him.
There it is. You've been holding on to that one. How long have you been holding on to that one? Since Slave Claus?
I was working since I saw
Slave Claus. Totally. Yeah, I was like, you were working on that Claus joke. You're like, okay, I get it. Nice. That's funny.
I went every angle. I was thinking there's a Slava Claus in my contract. I was working everything. I couldn't come up with anything.
Like, I was second and popped out. I'm like, there it is. I've been working on that one. Carolina, you got to admit, Carolina looked hot, though, man. I'm into her. She's sexy.
You would never know that the other girl was a stripper, right? Like,
right. No. Well, I wouldn't necessarily want to see it as much as I would want to see it out of Carolina.
But so one time I performed at a strip club in
just really quickly, she wrote the Stripper Bible, and I'm sure that's probably not what the Bible should be applied to. If you wrote a Stripper Bible, it should be one page. You should just open it. It should say, find Jesus.
Right.
and then that's the end of the Stripper Bible. Like, or find Jesus, chapter 2, your dad didn't love you. Chapter 3, but God does. Like, come on.
I was at a strip club one time with my friend, and the girl was on the pole, and she came, like, you know, they come like flying down the pole. And I guess she had like really cheap shoes. So the heel of her shoe fell off, like when she hit it, and it was flying and hit some guy in the chest. And the guy almost fucking was knocked out. He was like, oh,
yeah.
Because you don't expect a shoe to come flying.
He fell back like Michael Johnson in that fight with his arms extended. Rigid.
Dude, yeah, Michael Johnson's feet were even, you know, doing that fucking weird. It was like, he's fucking out.
Yeah. Dude, one of the best.
I wish they would let him win a fight every now and then instead of just getting Michael Johnson knocked out over and over again. Like, he, I don't know what his last 5 or 10 have been, but it seems like less than 50-50.
Yeah, I don't know who the script writer is for the UFC, but this is getting repetitive, dude.
Now they really should give him a winnable fight. I've never understood why they just keep running those guys on the ground, man. Like, over and over again. It's crazy.
Some guys, that becomes the role that they play for the league, you know? And you got to know that they also kind of accept it. Yeah. You know, and I wonder if it's like out of this sense of I'll prove him wrong. I'll show him.
Johnson won his last fight. He looked great his last fight. He looked great his last fight. He looked great. But this fight is just all right. So Chase Hooper won, looked great in his striking. Super happy for him.
Yeah. But I mean, he's had a lot of fights, but I mean, it is like volume over power. There's not a lot of power in those shots. He just hits you over and over and over again. It's a lot like your act. But the I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like I'm waiting. I feel like he's hitting a lot of competition that is kind of handpicked for him to be able to.
Yeah. Someone that can... I don't know. I mean, I think they have to figure out what level he's on. You know, I think they're trying
So they're definitely trying to give him. I mean, they're giving him opportunities and they're giving him good matchups. But you know, you get against somebody that's rangier the way he is, but has actual power. Because those longer guys are usually shockingly powerful punchers. And I just feel like he hasn't really seen that yet. And I'm wondering what happens when he runs into it.
So in the stupidest feud right now is between John Jones, Francis Ngannou, and Jones and Ngannou and Tyson Fury. It's this. It's like three guys that are never going to fight each other that are going back and forth on Twitter. They're fighting. And then Rogan got involved. So Joe Rogan said that in a.
So nobody in this is funny.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, John Jones is like, you're the baddest man on the thing. Prove it. Tyson Fury says, I'll do either, you know, I think he said, I'll do no holds barred fight, kind of like no rules fight. He goes, lock them into us in a room and I'm coming out. Rogan says, if you lock two of them in a room, John Jones is going to win. And then Tyson Fury responded to Joe Rogan, which we will show you right here. Tyson Fury did not like that.
And also, I'm in the prime of my life as well. I'm 34 years old, as strong, as big, as fucking fat as I've ever been. I'm looking to sign a 10-fight deal. I ain't going nowhere. I ain't fucking going nowhere. I come in for all you motherfuckers out there. I'm the baddest man on the planet. I heard Joe Rogan say something about me the other day, and I've been off all the social medias and didn't reply to that little pussy. Little fucking midget, bald-headed midget. I heard him say that John Jones could fuck me up if we went in the room together. I don't think so. Not a man born from his mother can fuck me up in a room on our own. Whatever happens in that room, I'd be walking out. Not a fucking problem.
Well, first of all, what language was that? I don't even know. And no, I'm kidding. But it was. But first of all, did he say he was fighting four-year-olds? And then was he a bald guy deriding another bald guy?
You're right. I didn't even think about that. But the thing is, I hate to say it, but after watching Tyson Fury get up after Deontay Wilder, like, there's nobody on the planet that could have got up from that punch.
He's a shockingly that guy. He's one of those guys that his body doesn't match the result.
I honestly don't know if anyone can beat him. I know, like, my brain is telling me, oh, it's MMA versus boxing. MMA is going to win. But this dude might not be human. I mean, he was like dead and then got up like The Undertaker.
I was going to say, I wasn't that impressed. I've seen The Undertaker do it 100 times. So,
dude, I think, you know, it depends on if it's boxing or MMA. That's the determining factor. Right. That's it. You put the MMA in boxing, he's going to lose. You put the boxer in MMA, he's going to lose bad.
Sean, so, I mean, in a fight, who in an actual no-hold-barred fight, who wins?
Easily John Jones. It cracks me up, these guys that he's sitting there saying he beat John Jones or whatever, and he was saying all that, and he's like, and if you want to come to the boxing ring, I'll prove it. Like, wait, what? Like, so, like, you just said you'll beat him anyway, anywhere, and if you want to do it in a boxing ring, I'll prove that I'm saying that. You know, it's so dumb. But, yeah, no, there's no chance in the world. It reminded me of a guy, there was the Indiana's heavyweight champion boxer, whatever that's worth. Maybe he was Mr. Nude World 2 or whatever, because there's a lot of state champion boxers. But he went to spar one day with me, and I saw him hitting guys real hard, like way too hard. And I said, nah. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're scared. I was like, no, I'll get mad and I'll beat you up for real, you know, or whatever. I said, you're hitting too hard, you know. I said, and when you're the state champion boxing guys that don't box regularly, of course, you can do that and get away with it, you know. But I said, I know how the story ends, you know. And then there was threats of people being shot and all kind of stuff. So it got pretty bad. But it wouldn't be 45 seconds. The boxers, it's all easy to say he would never touch me. I would knock him out of the way in until you don't, you know.
Jones is a really smart fighter. I think he might have the highest fight IQ out of anybody.
Yeah. I mean, he's just some people, man, were just born to do something. Like, it's John Jones, guys that were just born to do it. It's crazy. He's not that good at any other sport besides wrestling. They say he's terrible.
You know what? I was watching some of these heavyweight matches this weekend, and I was just like, okay, you know what? No wonder John Jones is brilliant. Oh, yeah, don't go back. Light heavyweight is filled with real great fighters. The heavyweights fucking suck. They're all fat They're all slow. They all just punch. They all rely on power. Very few of them have any cardio, let alone any ability to really work on the ground. I'm like, it's, you know, it's like Trump taking over the Republican Party. There's no competition.
Well, it's
you
like, know, like it there was a boxing match. Easy. Years ago, there was a boxing match, and the announcer was like, "Where are all the good heavyweights?" And the guy's like, "Playing football."
Right.
That's true. Like, yeah.
If you could learn how to fight MMA and get the shit beaten out of you every day and all that stuff, or you could just, you know, block a linebacker, you know, or
whatever. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's right. So these guys, they're just not good fighters, really. And oh, I mean, great fights, because you know, it's so funny when you watch the individual fight replays on ESPN, you always know the heavyweight one because it's only 7 minutes long.
Yeah.
And that includes the walk-ins. Exactly. Yeah. That includes 4 minutes of walk-ins, 1 minute of intros, and then a 2 minute fucking fight every time. And that's the greatest thing. They just knock each other the fuck out. But yeah, for someone like John Jones, yeah, this is a fucking cakewalk for you. Mm-hmm.
I do think it's funny that John Jones was always, they would want him to fight Ngannou when Ngannou was under contract. He's like, show me the money. I'm not fighting that guy for, you know, less than $100 million, this and that. And now that Ngannou's not under contract anymore, he's like, yeah, that's what I thought running now that I'm in the heavyweight division. Like, dude, you didn't come until he was gone. Like, had no interest in heavyweight until he was gone. Then he wanted to fight, you know?
So. Right. Because he was the only guy he was afraid he might not be able to just cakewalk through. Everybody else. I don't see anybody.
I don't know. The guy Pavlovich is going to be a tough one for him. That guy, Sergei.
Yeah, I haven't seen him fight yet, but I know you guys say he's amazing.
Like, I mean, he ran through Curtis Blaydes.
Yeah.
That guy might be, that guy's going to be tough. Now, Dana White, they asked him about the PFL and Ngannou. He obviously is sick of talking about it, but I couldn't wait to show you guys this because, you know, it's going to be entertaining.
No. 280 million, 300 million. I don't know what the number is from the Middle East. And I've done a lot of business.
Right here. So they asked him.
280 million, 300 million. I don't know what the number is from the Middle East. And I've done a lot of business in the Middle East. Those guys are sharp. And they know what to do. I don't know who in the hell would give them $280 million because I'm hearing they're buying Bellator, right? So you're an organization that's burning cash, have no ratings and selling no tickets, and you're going to raise $280 million to buy a company that's burning cash, sells no tickets, and does no ratings. It sounds fucking absolutely genius to me. And I don't know. No, $280 million,
$300 million. So, yeah, he's like, so that's my shot.
I mean, he kind of has a point. I don't understand how the PFL makes any money. And I'm not... I like the PFL, but they do no promotion. Same with Bellator. And they seem to, they give all these guys money. They got Ngannou. They got this, they got that. But they don't tell anyone when the fight is. If I was the PFL, why wouldn't the PFL buy, are they not allowed to buy ads on ESPN or can you, or somewhere?
Well, ESPN does have it, you know, they have their exclusive agreement with UFC, so maybe they can't.
They got
I think when you're laundering drug money, like internationally, it doesn't really matter whether you market your fight promotion or not, because they're doing something that isn't MMA promotion. I see what they pay some of these guys, and I think that's where part of Dana's frustration comes from, which is funny that Dana's like, he's mad at Ngannou for taking, like, he's, that deal's terrible, and who's giving him such a great deal, like on the other side, you know, or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
they're
paying him to train for a year. Like, that doesn't make any sense, you know, and they're, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you can't blame Ngannou for taking it. And then people are like, I love when people say he just wants the easier fights. Like, we all want the easier fights. Like, every fighter, they can say whatever they want. It's Matt Mitrione one time is going to fight Stefan Struve, and Struve had, like, a heart attack or something before, like, passed out from anxiety. And then Mitrione was, like, acting like he was upset after they canceled the fight. When it was right before he walked out, like, dude, you're not upset. You got your show-in win bonus. Didn't take a punch, didn't take any damage. You just got paid and you can fight again next month. You know what I mean? Like, it's everybody acts like, I want the challenge. No, you don't. You want the easiest fight possible. Like, it's stupid, man. So,
like an eighth grader fighting a fifth grader.
Right. Yes. That's, I should have put it into elementary school terms. Things would have been easy to understand.
Well, I guess that according to Luke Thomas, the UFC made something where like $222 billion in profit last year or something. Like,
that's what it's about, man. I mean, again, the answer to all of your questions is money. They see the market value that the UFC is getting onto themselves, and they're willing to invest to in the long term, take a share of that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a huge market cap to make that much fucking money. And they're like, these guys, they can't hold on to this forever without anybody trying to take a slice. So
I don't think they understand the sport. That's the problem, is that, like, you know, Dana's a fan first, and also a businessman. You got a lot of these people are just business people. You kind of need a fan to kind of run an organization.
Endeavor's not a fan.
I know, but that's why they're kind of fucking things up, because all they look at is numbers, you know. But you can't do that in like a sport. I don't think you can. Anyway, so John Jones crashed. What's his name? The guy, he went on. What's the guy who the sewer? The guy who knits. Who am I thinking in like the PFL? Maurice Greene. Maurice Greene was doing an interview with Alex Behanen, who's a nice guy, and John Jones, I guess, was in the background. If you guys want to see this,
nice to see him crash something besides a car for a change. Yeah, I haven't seen this.
Here we go.
To do what he did.
So okay, he's asked about Francis Ngannou.
To do what he did.
Francis the pussy. And always gonna be a pussy with all that muscle.
So that's what he said during the interview. Francis is a pussy. He's always gonna be a pussy with all that muscle. That's crazy that a guy like, you know, like John Jones could call someone like Ngannou a pussy.
Right.
Yeah, listen, if he really wanted to fight him, he could go to Dana and be like, I want an interleague fucking match. I want to, you know, us versus them. I want to fight this guy. He's not doing that. He's playing for his boss, because his boss is like, hey, you know, you say whatever you want, try and bring him back to the UFC. You know, this it's so easy for him to say that now.
Right. He wanted $100 million to fight him before, but now that he's gone and there's no chance of it happening, it's like, yeah, that's what I thought. So,
yeah.
It's funny, man. People are funny. That's what I can talk all the shit I want now since I'm not a fighter anymore, because people will be like, oh, yeah, meet me in the cage. I'm like, no, I'm retired, you know, or whatever. And then, so I can say whatever I want to whoever I want now. So, and they can't prove me wrong. Like, I could beat Kane in a fight.
Especially if you're a doctor evaluating your psych and whether or not you can get a
yeah. Dude, I got some more doctor stories that you guys wouldn't believe, but I won't even tell you.
I hate hearing them. I feel so bad. It's so dumb. It's all so stupid. All the bureaucracy. Anyways, yeah. Really.
Yeah.
So some fight announcements that got made. Just Dustin Poirier versus Gaethje 2. By the way, Poirier was...
Wait, is that for the BMF title, I heard?
Yes, for the BMF title. Which I guess... I thought Masvidal had the BMF belt.
Yeah. Maybe they're the millennial BMF champion or the interim BMF. They're going to unite him at some point. Yeah, that's what I love about the UFC. There are no morals at all. Like, no, like, this is a one-time only thing. This is a gimmick for one fight. And then, like, they need something to sell this fight. Hey, it's going to be for the BMF belt. You know what I mean? Or whatever. Like, we don't do that WWE shit over here. We don't, you know, do that. And then they make a fake title. And it's just like, or we don't do gimmick fights except CM Punk and James Toney. And
what does BMF stand for?
Baddest motherfucker. But it's kind of like what they said. It's like when Goldberg.
Well, that doesn't sound like a made up belt at all. You know, usually someone has to get a wallet that says that.
Right. That's what they should do. Fuck the belt. Just make it a wallet.
Just make it a wallet or a big wallet on the belt that just says baddest motherfucker.
Yeah, this
if you're fighting UFC, you don't need a wallet, so you don't have any money, so they could put it on the belt. What the hell? Right?
Yeah, this reminds me when Goldberg was 180-0, remember? And then he was like 220-0, like the next week.
Right, next week.
Like, yeah. Like, when did he have those 60 matches? Yeah, 50 matches, 40 matches. But yeah, and then there was a referee in WWE that got suspended. Remember when they had the two twin brothers? They had Saturday night's main event, and one of the ref was evil. And then it revealed that his brother was like tied up in the back.
Because... Oh my God.
So the guy, I think his name was Danny Davis. He got suspended. They said for life and 30 years. Right.
In case
he came back from the dead.
Well, they had seen Undertaker do it so many times. They were like, if he comes back like the Undertaker, he's got 30 years. So
there was a prisoner, actually. I don't know if you heard about this in the news. He got sentenced to life in prison, and then he died, hit a heart attack, was technically said dead, but then lived. So he was arguing that his life was over, that he should be able to get out for a murder or whatever he did.
Listen, when you're in jail for life, you shoot your shot.
I bet Joey Diaz tells that story as if it were him now that you said on the podcast. Next week he's going to be like, let me tell you, Joe Rogan, the last time I died when I was in prison. Someone told me, I don't want to say who, but a comedian once told me that all of Joey Diaz's stories are lies. And then I started paying attention. And I was like, dude, I heard my uncle tell that same story 40 years ago when I was a little kid or whatever. Like, every story is such a lie. It's so ridiculous. So I always comment on all his stuff. Like, even on Twitter, I'll just tweet and be like, lies. Like, when it's one of his stories or whatever, you know, whatever. So he just...
Well, he said, remember he got in trouble for he said back in the day that, like, at the comedy store, the girl, but and then they were like, they called him out on it. And he was like, you know, sometimes you're on these podcasts, he basically kind of admitted that.
Sometimes you forget your life story. You forget it happened to someone else, not you.
Jason Mayhem tweeted me that the world is bananas. He texted me. I said, yes, it is.
He wasn't gone that long. It's not like he was incarcerated in the 70s and he came out now and he's like, what are these bones everybody has?
He didn't even recognize the world he walked into.
Dude, it's been like 2 years. Like, that much has changed. You know, like, that's hilarious.
So he said he wants to talk about it on the show. He said, basically, he was mad that one of his things he says that Instagram is a bunch of people pretending that their lives are cool.
He's not wrong. It's a well-covered subject.
He's hankering to talk. He said his Snapchat is a bunch of Android video hoes trying to scam them. Some other stuff. So, yeah, he wants to talk about the worldview bananas.
Sounds like he's all caught up. That's all there is. That's what's up, dog. You figured it out. Yeah, that's right. Women are just scamming you over your phone. And, you know, I've heard that a lot, actually, from dudes that, like, on the dating sites, women just hit them up and they're like, meet me here, buy me dinner. Like, they just, you know, they just try and immediately try and get something out of you, you know, as fast as possible. And it's just... It's like, whoa, don't you want to talk? No. Come meet me at this restaurant. Buy me dinner. And still, like, you know, it's like the scam is just on right away. So, you listen.
So,
you know, I've never been so glad to be married.
Tony Ferguson is fighting Bobby Green. Ferguson just got a DUI. He was on TMZ last week for that. So I guess he got in some trouble. I think that's a good fight. For both of them, Bobby Green has no defense, keeps his hands down. Tony Ferguson does not look like the Tony Ferguson of old. Why not?
He looks like old of Tony Ferguson. That's what he looks like.
It's going to be a banger, not just his car in the parking lot.
Stephen Thompson is fighting the guy, Michel Pereira, the guy that learned how to fight in the circus, in the Brazilian circus. So, Wonder Boy versus that should be a good fight. That guy.
But he doesn't do as much of that spectacular stuff as he used to, which has made him a better fighter. I mean, it has made him a better fighter, but not nearly as fun to watch. Although Wonder Boy is the perfect guy to be able to do any of that stuff too. So that should be a lot of fun.
And then Michael Chiesa is fighting Kevin Lee. Remember the first fight they had? I think Kevin Lee put him in a rear naked choke and Chiesa didn't tap and it just went like, I remember it was like a weird ending. So Kevin Lee is back, which is good. I know Kevin Lee was campaigning for Bernie Sanders for a while. He was speaking at Bernie Sanders rallies and stuff.
Kevin Lee might be the only guy to go to another promotion, lose 4 or 5, and come back to the UFC. Like, I don't know. Like, didn't he lose like 5 in a row outside
the
UFC?
No. He went once. He fought for Eagle FC. He beat Diego Sanchez with a torn ACL.
Yeah.
And then and now he's back. He didn't go.
I thought he was gone for like 5 fights. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
And then Sean O'Malley versus Aljamain is official for UFC Boston. Aljamain got huge already. He already has a big beer gut. He lost his 6-pack, but it's okay. He's coming back. I mean, at least it's early enough. They're already talking a lot of shit on Twitter back and forth. So that's good. And then,
well, you know, at this point, you know, after the Patty Pimblett transformation, I don't doubt any of these high level fighters' ability to just completely transform their body within enough time.
Terrence McKinney made an announcement that he's fighting. He came out like Lil Nas X in Old Town Road,
right,
on like a horse. So he made his announcement
that he's gay.
No, he has a fight coming up.
Oh.
Come out. Terrence McKinney's a guy that like died 6 times and got tased by the cops.
Because wasn't that Lil Nas X's big announcement?
Yeah, he came out that he was gay.
Yeah, so you're like, it's a big Lil Nas X thing. And I'm like,
he didn't come out of the closet.
But he came out like a Lil Nas X. That's what I thought.
I'm like, oh, wow, we have our first openly gay fighter. I thought it was going to be, you know.
No, Dominic was like, wait a damn minute here.
Hold on.
I knew that was coming. That was another T. I just put that T ball on the T for you, buddy.
So I'll show you how he's gonna. Let me see if I can find it.
McCorkle.
So he came out. So here, right here. He this was his fight announcement. Here we go. If I could share it. So boom.
I'm just gonna say that every time something goes wrong now.
can you guys see this?
Going right.
Yeah.
What's up, everybody? It's T-Rex, and as you know, I'm a black man, and I'm looking for a black woman. And we're going to have an old school shootout right around July 15th, Las Vegas. See you there.
And he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up.
Are you sure he wasn't coming out?
You need to be scared of a man who can tame a statue of a bull. I mean, that guy, and you know what, I hate to be the old man on the fucking get off my lawn soapbox, but this is what social media has done to us, okay? We're not all in the same. There's a reason I'm not trying to fight. Not a fighter. I'm a fucking entertainer. Guess what, pal? You're not a fucking entertainer. Like, oh my God. Everyone thinks they're a fucking entertainer now.
That was brilliant. Jesus. I loved it. The look on McCorkle's face made that whole thing worth it.
Well, yeah. I was trying to figure out. I thought that was a chicken drumstick in his one hand at first when he pulled it up. And I thought, where's he going with this? And then I saw it was like an alligator pistol or something.
Right, like some kind of water guns or something.
I was thinking that should be John Morant's next move. Like if he really wants to stick to him, he should have those alligator water guns and start doing that on his social media to really piss people off. But yeah, that was awesome. That was amazing. I'm not sure what he was doing. What was he announcing? All I know is that
yeah, I think it was a fight. Yeah. And the little cutout of him flew in. And then, like a true matador, he made him disappear. So I think he's a matador magician, matadition or something, or magicador. He's a magicador.
I'm not sure being a cowboy had to do with any of that either. Cowboys aren't a matadors. Like that's
there were a lot of mixed messages. A lot of mixed messages in that one. I am a matador magician who's a cowboy on who can only ride these statues.
And then also was announced Vince Pichel's got a fight.
Hey, look who's back from hell, Vince Pichel.
He's fighting Benoit St. Denis, who's 10-1.
Famous for Benoit's not Waz. Sorry, that was dumb.
So yeah, Vince has won over the
now. Weekend. What are they? Where is this? Is this in UFC?
I think yeah, in the UFC.
It's okay, I don't know. I mean, it's just July been 1st. So long since we've seen Vince. I've never heard of this other guy. I'm like, I didn't know if this was a UFC prelim
The guy's 10-1. They're fighting in July 1st. Vince is 14-3.
Has Vince been injured for a while? We haven't seen him in a minute. Yeah. Did he hurt himself? Yeah. What was it? His pec? His arm? What was it?
I don't know. I remember when Vince wanted to fight Gavin Newsom. Remember during COVID? He kept calling out Gavin Newsom.
Surprised Newsom didn't take that fight. That's one I think people have been calling for a while. I don't know.
the pandemic was a strange time.
Dude, the angriest I've ever seen time. Vince. Angriest I've ever seen Vince. And Vince is like an even keel. He's just a cool, like, was when he wanted to kill Ween Dog. Was when Ween Dog went on his Twitch and promoted his own Twitch and then left. Like he came and then Vince was furious. Like this motherfucker. Like I've never in any of his fights, lead up, anything, wanted to kill Ween Dog for promoting his.
I noticed we haven't seen Ween Dog for years. So that's all after a.
He's hiding.
Disappeared mysteriously.
Yeah.
No, he's working for what's his name? That huge conservative Republican.
Ben Shapiro.
No, even more. He did a. The guy did a movie with Adam Carolla, Dennis Prager. He's working with Dennis Prager.
I know that name, but
Prager University. So he's working.
Sounds super legit.
It is.
Sure. Yeah. Everybody gets their certificate of completion at Prager University.
That was the joke at our school. I went to a private school that was really just a bunch of kids that had been kicked out of public schools.
Right.
And always the joke was with the retarded kids, they weren't our friends. We'd say, you're getting a certificate of completion this year. Like there's no diploma for you. Diplomas and the certificate of attendance.
Exactly. We successfully babysat you for 4 years. Get the fuck out.
And then also, I don't know if you guys watch BKFC. Over the weekend, former.
It's every time you say that, I'm like, I recognize three of those letters.
Dakota Kai.
Thank you, McCorkle. Thank you, McCorkle, for getting the KFC joke.
Dakota Cochran won. He's a guy that he dabbled in gay porn to pay through college. Great guy. He's a Christian. And
of course he is.
He's married with kids, a beautiful wife, a family, and he came back.
Yes, but how's his gay porn career?
And then he
to travel because of all the baggage from his past. He doesn't really want to take that with him anywhere.
He's a really great guy, and the guy could fight. Dakota could fight.
He can fight. He beat up a legit fighter not long ago. Who was it? Was it Chris Liebman or somebody he beat up? He beat up a former UFC.
He knocked out Johnny Hendricks.
Holy shit.
And bare knuckle. And then right here, this fight happened over the weekend, which two girls, I said, it's a battle of who hates their dad the most.
Right. Oh, yeah.
The girl on
they're
the left,
in the lifestyle.
The girl,
I don't know what lifestyle that is, but they are in it.
This girl won. She beat him. This girl's got
which one? The one with the tattoos?
The one with the cross tattoo right above her vagina.
Oh, she won.
Yeah, she won.
Well, you know, clearly Jesus loves her more.
It was a good fight, though. And then,
I think that's a dagger. I don't think that's a cross.
That's a dagger?
Yeah, dude. If the top end is longer than the bottom end, it's a fucking dagger, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Either that or it's a cross upside down as you worship Satan. So one or the other.
And then Houston Alexander won. 51-year-old Houston Alexander won in bare knuckle fighting. So that was good for him. This is my AMC. We're going to see The Little Mermaid. All right. So
also, of course you are, because you're literally, and I mean this, you're the best dad in the universe, dude. Anybody that says different is fucking wrong. I would have given my, I would give my left nut to have had a dad who fucking treated me the way I see you treat your daughter. So for anybody who wants to go fuck yourself in your criticisms, you're literally the best dad I've ever seen.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. And then also Jim Miller. Jim Miller is fighting Jared Gordon. Jared Gordon is the guy that died. He overdosed on heroin like six times. And they brought him to the hospital one time for an injury and put him back on painkillers, got hooked up. He beat Patty Pimblett. They gave it to Patty. And then the last fight against Bobby Green like headbutted him or something and then got disqualified or it was a no contest. And now he's fighting Jim Miller. Jim Miller versus.
Hasn't Jim Miller retired like three times already? Or my his gloves in the cage like three times separately. Like surely.
And his, I was gonna say, and his next lucky dance partner is Jim Miller.
Yeah, I thought Jim Miller retired. I'm almost positive he retired.
Dude, his record's 35-17. I mean, what? I mean, and his is 19-6. Okay, their last fight records. Jim Miller's coming off a loss, and of course. Gordon's coming off a no contest.
Yes.
So, okay.
So what do we got coming up, Greg?
Where am I? What am I? Oh, this weekend, Vegas, Memorial Day weekend, the big 10-year anniversary shows of The Dirty of 12:30 at the South Point Casino. So be sure and come out and see me doing that. Also, before that, I'll be headlining the new Woo comedy stage out there at the New Woo Cannabis Dispensary. It's open air. Everybody's smoking their fucking brains out. So if you're a weedhead, that's going to be first on Friday night here. What is it, May, whatever this is, weekend 26, I think. So come out and check out those shows. I mean, that's what I got coming. Then Laughs Tucson. June 30th, July 1st, TK is in Dallas, July 6th through 9th. So those are some of the dates that I have coming up.
And you, Sean, what do you got coming up?
Nothing. Just same old, man. My life is the same.
Arguing with doctors.
Yep, pretty much. That's actually, you have no idea. It's insanity.
Fuck these fucking, okay, I got a whole thing about it. We'll have to stay for another podcast.
June 2nd.
McCorkle.
June 2nd, I'll be at Harvey's Comedy Pop-Up at Produce Row in Portland, Oregon. And then I'll be at Comedy at the Vine in Aurora, Oregon on June 3rd. And then Capitol Hill Comedy in Seattle, Washington on June 4th. So
that's fun, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's a three-day thing. I'll hook you up with that, Greg.
Actually, I've heard from Jeff Kavouri, right?
Yeah.
Should I not have said that out loud on the podcast? The guy's name. I don't know.
It's all good.
I may have gotten his last name wrong. I always mix it. I don't know if it's Fakuri or Kafuri, but
Well, you guys have been great. Thank you guys.
But I'm glad you brought it up. Great way to end the show.
I'm gonna take it out.
Yes, I do. Take that out of the goddamn thing.
1,000%. Thank you guys. You guys are the best.
All right, man. See you guys.
See you guys.